Mrs. Romney, renumbered reel 16.
Bristan, how do I have to go? I mean, I couldn't fight that, you see. So Aunt Margaret then sent me to the guards at Wimbledon. Well, I wasn't very keen on the guard at Wimbledon, because when the two of the young girls' officers, whom I thought were about easily, have said, how do you do, at least to me, I might not have really been there. And I used to look at them and think, you're going out with some dirty little common little musical comedy singer this evening, you are. And you can't even be polite to someone who's working in your place, me. I thought, just fancy, this is it. And oh, what a camp. All the bricks up and water. And however I found a cosy corner, oh, I had to sleep there. Oh, yes, I slept there.
Where did you sleep when you were at Epsom?
Oh, in a hotel. I couldn't, oh, my word, I wouldn't have slept in that camp. I didn't get the chance. No, I slept at a hotel. Very good food it was, I remember. Well, now look, where was I? In the, London, where was I?
With the guards at Wimbledon.
The guards. And so the guards have got some of those wonderful Shire horses, you know, with lovely curls on their feet and a curl on their nose. I found them near to my bedroom. And here would be one horse, and a bit of wood between them. And I used to sit on the bit of wood, if I could get, and talk to them. Oh, they were very interested, these horses were. And I got as far bravely with a lump of sugar to stroke their noses. And Gertrude Dairy, daring, one of them got to really know me. You can imagine it, can't you? And so one day, I was going to leave there, it was lunchtime. And as I left out, I heard a most terrible noise. I did. He was coming after me. Great feet. I thought, what am I going to do? I can't take him back, because he wouldn't go. And I can't get anybody who'll take him back. They're all at lunch or they're somewhere. What do I do? So I just solemnly walked round the guard step with the horse following me. And a man came along. I just quite seriously said, oh, yes, of course, do you mind? Oh, he says, no, miss. Okay, he wasn't tied up. You couldn't get on anything to take him with. And, you know, I met one of those horses in the street, oh, quite a month afterwards. I ran amongst the traffic to it. And it stopped, yes. Oh, I adore those great Shire horses. And then that was all over. And that's World War One. Back home.
What were you doing with the guards at Wimbledon?
Oh, the canteens. The canteens. Same job. It was right out of Caterham. Another one I went with the guards. Well, at Wimbledon. Then I had to inspect the one at Caterham. So cold in the winter, driving up that hill at Caterham, this guard's depot, and I was so shocked, I don't want not to say this, that our own guards, when you went through the gates, the great holes with water in, oh, not done up properly at all. Oh, it's divine. Well, I lived in Stoke-on-Trent, but it was dreadful. Yes, I went and did the guard, you see, and then so there was no point. The ones at Wimbledon, they were not going to have them anymore. So it was just about time. They couldn't go back home. And the guards, well, only that. So I went back home then, it was over.
What was the attitude of the troops at Epsom and in London and so on after the war was over?
Well, that's the point. A lot of the troops, of course, had been to France. While France, on the Somme, was of course a very unpleasant place to be. You must remember we hadn't got the bombing and the torpedoing that we had in this last war. And it hadn't been really, it had been a bad war, and they'd been killed, but it wasn't really such a war as what wars become today. But it wasn't really. And they were very sorry to Rebecca, a lot of them, except for their families. And the wives and children had been doing on quite nicely. They didn't want anybody coming back home telling them what to do. But they all joined together quite nicely. There was never any trouble, really. They did. Now, the Canadians, you see, a lot of the Canadians had been specially conscripted for the war. And they thought they were doing very nicely, thank you. They got good porters, very good food, which, of course, we hadn't had, because they couldn't get to us in so long ago. And also plenty of money. The Canadians paid them well. And so they were particularly anxious to go back home, but they didn't go for a long time. Oh, no. And they were enjoying themselves. They'd have money, the fool. I always remember my aunt said, Millie, if you can get me some dried fruit, see. I only want, we can't get it, Millie, and you know I do like dried fruit. Those awful, you know, prunes and bits of orange and bits of apple, you know, rings and so on. I never thought much of it, but Aunt Rhoda liked the dried fruit. She was a wonderful cook. So I went to stay at Aunt Margie's sister. Had a lovely house in Bromley. So I thought, well, I don't know how I'm going to get this dried fruit, because we weren't using it in the canteens. So this young fellow came to me and he'd said, I've been making inquiries and I find there's nobody else, so why shouldn't I? I said, I wonder if you could get any dried fruit for me. I'm prepared to pay for it. Well, he put me about £6, and that's about as much as I always went to Aunt Rhoda at the weekend, you see, because my, I wasn't married, you see, my home was too far away. And Sandwich, I was quite comfortable down there. And I said, no, Aunt, here's £6 of this stuff. Well, of course, Aunt Nellie went quite out of her mind. So a short time afterwards, I thought that I'd get a little more fruit salad for Aunt. But however, this young fellow, this Canadian officer, he'd come a bit, he'd jumped the queue, came with, enormous things. And he said, your aunt sure does eat a lot of dry fruit, doesn't she? The way he said it was very funny. I said, I can see it now. The frogs were spawning, you know, and jumping all out and croaking in Epsom. And he said, well, it does seem a pity you won't dine with me tonight, you know. I said, well, I'm very sorry. Whatever you may think is hopeless, see. And that was that. So home I went.
Did you find any personality differences among the Canadian troops, Australian troops?
Oh, yes. I was going to muddle it up then with the Second World War, because we had all the Canadians here, you see. And they picked up the riffraff and just picked them up and threw them on ships to come and guard our coast, you see.
No, but what about in the First War?
Well, I met them. They were all right, but they, with their language being different and their life being different, it never occurred to me that there was a likeness much. No. No. I don't think so. I never took to them terribly. I've been to Canada since, and I think they're worse now. I went to Montreal, and they're anti-British. I mean, I had no time at all. And no, I didn't really, no. Well, okay, they were quite decent to me, I need to say. But, and then they would get drunk at night, you know, and fight. Not that I was there either, but I mean, they did, you see. No, the New Zealand is better.
After the First War, did you think you'd done your bit and everyone else had, and there wouldn't be any more war?
Oh, we were quite sure there wouldn't be any more war. We couldn't see, as we'd beaten the Germans, where was there going to be another world war? See, I mean, it's quite easy. We hadn't expected this one. Nor, as you say, 6 weeks was all it would be. No, we did not expect another world war. No, my dear, no. No, no, everything went on. I mean, we're not expecting anything now, but of course, the balloon could go up over something at any moment. It hasn't. It hasn't. Oh, no, it didn't. And, but I was quite sorry when it was over. I was going back to the leisure classes, a parlour maid and a cook and a gardener and so on. My brother dead, the other brother at Mowbray School, and the little sister growing up. Oh no, my mother not very pleased to see me. That's because she's already dead, and my heart thinking about somebody else. The awkward ones.
What sort of training in electronics did you actually get in the short time you were in the
Navy? I didn't ever begin, because I was sent to the Crystal Palace to do 2 months or perhaps 3 months training, because you had to be able to take your squad on march it and, you know, be an officer, you see what I mean, don't you? Do that. And then it was to be arranged. I don't know where I was going for this course. I forget if it was, I forget really what it was to learn. I think it was, yes, well, I've forgotten. At a very interesting, well, what in it? And it was taking all my time to have done it in 3 years on the quiet, which I had no intention of doing, because I knew perfectly well it would all be more than over, but still, all right, say yes, I'll try my best. I was always ready to try my best, you see. I always worked at whatever they put me, and so I never did there, no. Because, you see, I came out when they said it's all over now. Well, we had to clean our shoes in the morning, you see. In the early morning, when you got up and had your breakfast, the first thing you did was clean your shoes in the sort of conservatory at this house in the Crystal Palace. And we had to clean our shoes in the afternoon. We had to clean our shoes then again. I thought it was sheer waste of time after being in Salonika, face to face with life as it really was lived. And nobody ever saw Claire's shoes clean. I had to clean them with her anyhow. And, no, I, you know, it wasn't quite, no. Mark you, I sound to you now as though whatever I did, there was a complaint, so I came out. That's far from the truth. Far from the truth. I was thankful to get in the army, thankful to be there. But I knew that I couldn't stand army life anymore. And with the W. pneumonia, had my mother not had the antiflagistine, and the fire right by me, a coal fire and a specialist practically, people were dying by the thousands of this Asian flu. It was only with the greatest care that I lived. So, of course, you imagine I didn't want to go back for any more. I thought, well, it'll be much easier in the Navy. Well, it was, really. There's no going chasing on ships yet, I thought, and perhaps never. And anyway, that was it. I think that's about all, you see. And out I came.